Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, commitment day is here. Huge day. Just for full disclosure, we don't expect any surprises, but we are recording prior to the commitments coming in. Just so you know that, if there's a surprise that comes and we're not aware of it. But T. Frank, not expecting any surprises though, are we?
No, this has been one of the least drama-filled classes that Penn State's had in a long time, and it finished quite early. If you consider like the majority of the players, Penn State always does this, where they have the majority of their players done in the summer before the season starts, but really the class was complete before the season started, and there's been a couple of things here and there that have cropped up, but nothing has really moved, and Penn State has had their players in position for quite a while now. So it's a good class. And I think that there's kind of there's a certain feeling about this group because a lot of the work was done early. But still, I'm wildly impressed with Penn State's ability to identify talent in this group and secure it early. And we'll get into most of it throughout the show today.
And just to cover it, it's ranked going into commitment day. It's ranked 15th, I believe, on the On3 rankings.
Yep. Third in the Big Ten.
Third in the Big Ten. Not bad, but that's kind of typical of Penn State, as my phone rings there. Sorry about that. It ranked 15th. That's not an unusual position for a James Franklin class.
Yeah.
And just real quick, I want to mention this, that a lot of times we hear this truth. The national story is James Franklin is this absolutely great recruiter, but doesn't coach them up to the recruiting standard. I think overall, when he ends up ranked in the top 10, that doesn't come from the recruiting class so much because the recruiting classes are typically in that 12, 13, 14 range, isn't it?
Yeah, and they'll get into the top 10. I think they consistently get the same types of good football players. So if you look at it a different way, 15th, 3rd, all of these rankings, but they're overall what we think of the players themselves, the class score, which is kind of a composite of the star rankings and kind of the positioning of these players, is a 91, according to On3. 91.14 if you're into the decimal points, which is, that's good. That's really good. You know, that is a high four-star class. So a lot of this stuff has to do, I don't want to get too deep into this stuff, but NIL has changed the landscape and has changed a lot of different things for teams where, you know, we're seeing another coalescing of talent and things like that because of different factors in recruiting. And Penn State has been able to secure their typical spot in this new environment. I think it's a good recruiting class. There's some obvious strengths to it. And that's kind of, I think you're right. When you finish with the results you finish with, and you're typically getting a 10 to 15 ranked class, you know, I think that it's all consistent, right? The where they're finishing in recruiting and where they're finishing in the national landscape is right in that same range of outcomes. Sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse. They've had a dip because of a couple classes in 21 and 20, but 22 through 24 have been pretty good. So Penn State is building, I think, in this in the recruiting landscape, kind of on that sliding scale where they normally fit. They've been finishing on the higher end, and I actually like this class. I don't know that the makeup of the other 14 ones ahead of them, but I really like the makeup of this class. There's some weaknesses, but there's some really high talent in this class.
Well, let's hit some of the highlights, and it's almost a recurring theme. It seems like James Franklin and his staffs, they sometimes hit on some players early before they blow up in their recruiting. And one of the places they've done that now is at quarterback. Ethan Grunkmeyer comes in very similar to the Drew Aller story.
Yeah.
Penn State very early getting in on him before they blow up in the recruiting, coming from Ohio. After they get a commitment from him, they blow up after that. They even have the same quarterback coach. Always that quarterback is so important. Tell me about Ethan Grunkmeyer.
It's funny you say that. They played Medina this year. Watching Drew Aller's tape, he got a certain style of play from the Ohio defenses in high school. And it was basically one of two things. They're going to send everybody at him, or they're going to play coverage. And neither one really worked. And then fast forward to 2023, Ethan Grunkmeyer playing the Medina defense is getting the exact same treatment of basically like a five-star quarterback, and we have to stop him in a certain way. And he was able to dismantle it. I was really high on Ethan Grunkmeyer when they first signed him. There's so many aspects of his game that I really, really like. And it's, I won't say that I projected him as a top 10 player in this class, but I definitely thought he was a guy that you could win with at the college football level, not just be an adequate quarterback, but he could be a guy that could elevate your offense and give you that same ability to contend for championships of whatever level, whether it is, you know, college football playoff push or the actual, you know, maybe a national championship at some point. Like, he had the building blocks of a standout quarterback. And that's really what you're asking for, is just not necessarily star rankings, but can you do it at the next level? And his positional skills, some of the things that are innate to his game. I don't care that he's 190 pounds. I don't care that he's not 6'5". The dude can sling it, and he's got some special traits when it comes to his feet, his hips, his shoulders, and his sequencing.
Well, you were on him very early on. I remember the conversations with you. You've always been very impressed with him. How does he differ from Drew Aller? Too often we make that, there's these similarities, so this is the next Drew Aller. Not necessarily the case, though. So what are the differences? How is he style-wise different than Drew Aller?
Just the number one word that comes to mind is quicker. He is lightning fast. His feet, and that's what I'm talking about with his sequencing. He's able to flip his hips and throw in a way that very few quarterbacks can. So he's able to, you know, you think of modern footwork from the offense and from the quarterback. There's a lot of RPOs. There's a lot of play actions to screens and things like that, where you have to have very quick feet and you have to be able to reset in the pocket very quickly. And he is not only lightning fast, but he is smooth when he's doing it, and he is unbelievably consistent in the mechanics, which leads to a high level of accuracy. Accuracy, and I'm speaking of what I've learned, not necessarily that I should be the expert here, because I've talked to his quarterback coach, Brad Mandler, a couple of times. I'm a huge fan of Brad. I'm a huge fan of what he does with his quarterbacks. The proof is in the Penn State pudding here with Aller and with Grunkmeyer, but you know, the rotational throwing and the ability to reset and throw, he's consistent in his mechanics, and consistency leads to accuracy. If you do it right, and you do it right all the time, then you are a reliable passer. And then when you throw on top of that, his ability to extend plays, his desire to create big plays within the structure of the offense. So he's not just scrambling to run. He is extending plays, allowing guys to get open, and then throwing within the structure, you know, trying to break the defense with time. And that's another rare quality. There's some rare qualities here where he's able to do things that, you know, on the high school level, not a lot of quarterbacks look like they're doing it on a professional level, you know, where the translatable skills pop off the chart. And then you throw in the arm strength and the ability to throw off platform with that same accuracy. I mean, there's so many things to like about Ethan Grunkmeyer, and the way he plays the game translates in so many different scenarios. It's just going to be, the question is, you know, how long does it take him to get up to college level speed from a mental processing standpoint? Because we saw with Drew Aller, even if you can do it, even if you can see it, sometimes it takes a little bit for you to pull the trigger and start to make good on all of that stuff that you see and process from a mental standpoint, aside from the physical stuff.
And again, the good news is, unless something really crazy happens, you're not going to expect him to be on the field on his freshman year.
No.
So he will at least have that kind of time, if not a couple years. The other place where it appears that Penn State got in really early on the player, and then he blew up at tight end, with Luke Reynolds. Is he just next in line for this tight end you on this team?
Yeah, so it's super interesting. You watch flashes of a guy. Athletically, off the charts. You know, I would say, I think he's in the 4.5s. His testing metrics are excellent. His leaping ability is outstanding. And you saw flashes his junior year. He was playing quarterback, and then he was playing some tight end, kind of moonlighting between the two. His high school then recruits a quarterback who is one of the better quarterbacks in his class, and suddenly he's playing tight end full time, and he just explodes. You know, the recruiting circuit, he went to the Elite 11. He was one of the top performers at the Elite 11. Explosive downfield receiver, leaping ability similar to Mike Gesicki, contested catchability, and plays nasty. Not a blocker yet, so not kind of in the Pat Freiermuth and Andrew Rapelier mold, where they came into school as a known blocker. But you look at his defensive highlights, he plays safety, and he lights dudes up. Like, he is physical. So I'm excited to see what the ceiling is for this guy. You just look at the rankings. Number one tight end in the country, according to 247, 27th overall player. Pence on three has him as the third tight end, 39th in the country. So a borderline five-star or a five-star at a lot of different places. And that's consistent with his potential and his ability. And tight end is like freak you. Like, you have to be a freak to be a tight end. He is well within the lines of, this dude is a freak. Athletically, he's probably one of the best guys they've brought in a long time.
And you mentioned Andrew Rapelier as being a good blocker. That, are you already picturing them lining up both Rapelier and yeah. Luke Reynolds on the field? I mean, we've been seeing that dual tight end setup for several years now, and it just seems like we are going to keep on seeing that.
Yeah, so Reynolds, they have the flexibility that complement each other really well. And I've wondered and pondered in my mind, like, who would play where. Rapelier has the ability to play either spot. You know, he can be an H-back, he can be the inline tight end. Reynolds, I think you would want to have him as the receiver, as a Y. I don't know about his blocking yet, but like, you want to use him in that downfield ability, and the Y gets downfield, I think, a little bit more, at least traditionally. I don't know. Like, in Andy Koldenicki's offense, it could all be different, and I don't know any of that information yet. But yeah, those guys complement each other really well. So 12 tight end personnel is not going anywhere at Penn State.
Exactly. And that's what's exciting here as a Penn State fan, just to see him keep filling up that pipeline. Love the tight ends, T. Frank. Just love them. All right, we've only gone through a couple of the players. We've got a lot more to get to, T. Frank. Well, they were two important players, though.
Yeah.
We will get to more of them in quarter number two, I promise. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's T. Frank. I'm Jim. We are talking about the Penn State 2024 recruiting class. We got through two of the players in quarter number one. By my calculations, T. Frank, if we continue at this rate, it'll take us about four more shows to get through everyone.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Well, we don't have to hit everybody. Yeah. We'll hit the highlights. Yeah, we'll get there. So I want to talk to you about Quinton Martin.
Yeah.
Highest ranked player in Pennsylvania. Which it's nice, Penn State getting their own,
yep.
Recruiting the best in Pennsylvania. And what's interesting about Quinton Martin is he plays multiple positions. He's running back. They line him up as a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the question that keeps coming up is, okay, maybe he's being recruited as a running back, but there's a lot of running backs in the stable right now.
Yeah.
They could use some help at wide receiver. Is this a guy who could actually step right in and play some wide receiver right away for them?
No, I don't think so. Not in a traditional sense, because it's just, there's a lot of details as a receiver. There's a lot of nuances that go into creating separation. And Quentin Martin's a great athlete, but he is not the athlete that can just get open, you know, in any situation, any circumstance, against any player. That's really what you have to be, a total freak, like one of those guys that could step into the NFL as a freshman in order to do that. And Quentin's a great athlete, but I don't think he is that level of next level playmaker that he would be able to come in and do the same things he did in high school as he did, in college as he did in high school. He is an advanced route runner for a running back, and I've watched him toast defensive backs at Penn State's camps, even some good camps where he's going up against good prospects and not just, you know, 10th graders that are happy to be there. You know, like he's made some really good players look foolish in those situations, but those are not, you know, college defensive backs that are on the field because they're the best of the best that can play. So I think, could you use him as sort of a gadget player? Could you use him in a bunch of different ways? Andy Kotelnicki will find the best way to use these players. That has been kind of his MO. So yeah, I could see him playing some receiver, but it would not be a situation where you're putting him out there and he's running routes 10 yards down the field and generating separation and solving Penn State's problem. And then, oops, he's just a five-star receiver. Like, I don't think they're going to cheat their way into a five-star receiver that I think a lot of fans are hoping for. Slash is on the table, but I think he ultimately will always be a running back for Penn State, mostly because that's what he wants. You know, we talked about him originally as a linebacker early in his recruiting. It was like, he plays running back, but this guy, maybe he's a big safety, maybe he's a Sam linebacker. And he basically said, I want to be a running back. And so here we are a year and a half later, and he is a Penn State running back that is going to add into that stable in that backfield and provide depth and talent and all those things.
A running back who's able to catch the ball out of the backfield, though, is an exciting prospect.
For sure, yeah.
Especially if you have an offensive coordinator who's really good at scheming things for his playmaker. So yeah, That's exciting enough in and of itself.
Yeah, we just got to thread the needle there, right? So we've got to thread the needle of, he could be used as a receiving option in the offense, but full-time receiver when he comes into college, I don't foresee that. So he will be a receiving threat, and I think it's fair to say kickoff return as well. He's going to be used in a multitude of ways, and I do believe he'd be a guy that will burn his red shirt early unless, you know, something different happens from the expected plan, because Penn State has chosen to do that with guys like Quentin. So especially in modern football, you got to keep everyone engaged. I do think he's going to be an option in the offense, but yeah, that just threading that needle of receiving option, I think, is the best way to put it.
Very good. Well, then let's talk about the wide receivers that are coming in. Josiah Brown, mm-hmm. Tysier Denmark, and Peter Gonzalez, they make up the wide receiver class. Are any of them ready to contribute early? Hey, I'm looking to fix it.
Yeah.
Todd Blackledge told me in the broadcast, all right, that wide receiver is a position where a freshman could come right in and play. Now, hey, Todd Blackledge said so, Keith Frank. So that's why I'm asking the question.
Yes, but I don't think any of these guys are. Tysier Denmark has the opportunity to, but here's the thing, and a lot of this is going to depend on Andy Kotelnicki, and it's different. Like, he does a lot of different things, and there's not a system to pin down here. So I can say, like, okay, a receiver X fits this mold in his offense because he's used so many different players so many different ways, and it's not like he's had a ton of great quarterbacks to design a passing game around. They have been an option offense with all of those things that the receivers are a part of it. Like, there's a lot of nuance here to the fit in the new offense, and I'm still having to deprogram myself from Penn State needs an outside wide receiver because that's what Mike Yursich's offense demanded a lot of the time. So originally I would have said Peter Gonzalez was the most important player among these groups. He's the 3-star 6'2", 200 vertical threat. He is very much in the mold of what they would have wanted previously. I think he still is. But Tysier Denmark is the guy that has unnatural short area quickness, explosiveness, elusiveness, creates separation. I mean, he's a full-time slot, in my opinion. 5'10", 185 coming into college, and has, you know, I would hesitate to say he can play on the outside, but also I don't know that. You know, we'll see what he can do when he gets to school. Josiah Brown suffered an injury this year, so he's not going to be a part of the conversation for that. So it's really down to those two guys, Peter Gonzalez, who's been a late riser, who hasn't gotten to the same level as some of Penn State's other late risers in this class, but is very much in the mold of super high ceiling. Penn State bet on him after an injury his junior season. Then he came out and had video game numbers, like playing on rookie mode in Madden, where he's just, it's a short pass that he takes for 60 yards, or it's a bomb that he catches for 60 yards. Doesn't run a full route tree, needs to polish those receiving skills, but has a lot of upside. Athletically, I think is the most dangerous player that Penn State's recruited at receiver in a long time. That has, I'm always looking for how do you get the highest ceiling out of a guy? Who are the guys that have the highest ceiling? And that also means not just traits, but also what deficiencies do you have? He has a couple, you know, change of direction is an unknown. I won't say that it's bad or anything, but it's an unknown, something he hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. And I haven't seen him do a whole lot of it since recovering from his ACL injury. So there's some development and some potential there. So that's an area where I'm looking at him with, you know, an eye to the future as the guy who could be a dominant number one receiver. But then Josiah Brown, super fast, elite speed receiver, 5'11", 170, really in the mold of all the other guys that Penn State's brought in over the last several seasons. And then Denmark, a flip from,
Oregon.
Oregon. Thank you. He was with a couple of different schools at one point, but Oregon committed, decommitted, and then committed to Penn State. I think is a guy who has, again, special qualities, but the reason he's not as highly ranked, I think, overall is because he doesn't have the size, and along with the size, doesn't have blazing speed. He's not a super fast, deep threat. He is very much short area quickness, elite separation. To me, that makes him a pure slot. So there's a couple of versatile pieces here. But generally nobody who's the walk-on and dominate from day one type guy that I think Penn State fans are looking for.
You mentioned, though, some of the injuries that are factors here. To me, it's always fascinating. There's a couple things that factor in the star rating and the ranking of these high school recruits. One of them is injury. The other one is when they're playing a new position.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that it's tough to do the ranking. And I remember Peter Gonzalez having that injury, and that's going to affect his ranking, but it seems like the potential is there. Okay, T. Frank, let's move on. An interesting one to me is Liam Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
I have him listed at 6'5", 275 pounds, and listed as an athlete.
Yep.
Where's he going to play?
Defense. Conversation about end or tackle. Long-term, with that frame, he projects to an elite three technique defensive tackle, and really the kind of player that can change the narrative of what Penn State is up front. He has the potential to develop into a guy that can dominate from the inside. He is, and this is an area where level of competition and his overwhelming physical traits maybe mask some things that he needs to develop. I don't think he's necessarily an impact guy, seeing him up close a couple of times this summer. There's some technique stuff he's got to work on. I think he's got to get stronger for sure before he's able to do some of the things he does on the high school level, on the college level. But one of the things I like is that he is both aware of his hands. He uses his hands, and when he does, utterly dominant. He's got the length. He's got the violence. He's got the tenacity, and he's got the quickness to go along with an elite frame, 6'4.5", you mentioned. He can be a complete 310-pound three technique that Penn State has been looking for. So this is a guy, another high, high ceiling, one of Penn State's, I think, most important recruits, and a home run that Deion Barnes was able to get him in this class, because this was a big win for Penn State and one that can't go unnoticed. Offense, down the road, like, is this a conversation where he is a tackle as well? Penn State loaded up on long tackles, so the need isn't there right now, but also was a top offensive tackle prospect in the class of 2024. So a lot of guys that could play a lot of different positions here as well.
Yeah, he was the one that, again, listed as an athlete. I've seen some people talk to him about the offensive line, others the defensive line. Since you're calling him a defensive lineman, let's stick on that side of the ball. tell me about T.A. Cunningham and DeAndre Cook.
Yeah, again, huge frames, high upside play. T.A. Cunningham specifically, 6'6 and a half, like a true 6'6, 275 pounds, has had a journey of a recruiting process. There's a lot of stuff that we're not going to get into here because we don't have enough time. And honestly, the details are there's too many details for me to remember right here, right now, but basically hasn't played football in 2 years, like has not had a high school college football career, started out as a potential five-star talent and then transferred a couple of different places for NIL opportunities, probably got some bad advice, probably didn't have good leadership from his, just the adults in his life, and returned, I believe, to Georgia and then was injured and is missing this season. So what you need to know is that this is, I don't want to call him a lottery ticket in terms of like, you know, that always has kind of a dirty connotation to it. But I think he hasn't had a good environment. He hasn't had a good environment to develop at football. There's a lot of talent there, but there's also a lot of potential for big dude who doesn't necessarily know the game just yet. So he's going to be a long development play. But when you've got some guys like Liam Andrews already in the class and some other versatile players, absolutely a guy you want to take. Absolutely a guy that if you know, best case scenario, we're talking about the position fits and everything. He's a dominant one tech that can also press the pocket and has that full complete profile. So Penn State, so many huge frames in this class. I'm excited to see how these guys develop.
All right, we're going to get to more of them. We're skipping Ask T. Frank today because we got so much to talk about with the recruiting class. Stay tuned for more.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's T. Frank. Normally this is Ask T. Frank, but we've just got too much to cover with this recruiting class, T. Frank. And when we wrapped up quarter number two, we were talking about defensive linemen. You were telling us all about T.A. Cunningham and his potential. Yep. The other name I had listed that we didn't get to was DeAndre Cook. Tell us a little bit about him.
I try not to typecast these guys because they're so young, but 6'4", 260, you know, when I watched him initially, kind of a linear athlete, explosive vertically, but kind of needed to work on his pad level, a little bit raw. And what I love about this is like Penn State has these summer camps, right, where you can come up and you can work out for the staff and it's a recruiting thing and it's a networking thing. And also for a lot of these guys, you're working with your position coach. If you're going to commit to Penn State, you're coming up and you're working with your position coach a couple of times during your junior and senior season. And DeAndre Cook is a guy who's come up and, worked with Deion Barnes, who's such a great, he's so great technically, and it has this immediate ability to perceive what are the things you need to work on, what are the things I can point out immediately, you have to change this, put your hands here, that kind of stuff. And Cook, you know, based on his film, a lot of this stuff was really starting to click for him his senior season. And I don't want to take anything away from his coaches in high school either, by the way. Like, he's taking coaching well, because the point is a lot of these things that he's able to do on the football field, he's translating a lot of potential into production. But the question just is, you know, he's kind of a high ceiling three-star prospect, but I think, you know, another good option for Penn State at defensive tackle with a great frame, ability to get to the size you want with length. Penn State is getting length in this class, and Cook is a great option for, a really versatile interior defender in this particular class.
It's exciting to hear about high-end guys at that defensive tackle position. Let's go to the big guys on the other side of the ball. Let's go to the offensive line. A lot of players here. A lot to talk about on this side, T. Frank. I want to start with a guy because it's intriguing to me. Garrett Sexton. He's from Wisconsin, which is already kind of interesting. 6'6", 275, former quarterback. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him play, quarterback at that size. Already I have visions in my head. How do you make it like a tackle eligible? He comes around on and throws a pass, T. Frank. That is creative offensive play calling. But let's talk about Wisconsin. Yes.
By the way, like I had him on the show here. You can go check out our interview that we had on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel. It was his idea to move the offensive line. It wasn't like, oh no, I want to be quarterback. He's like, yeah, I live in Wisconsin. Offensive linemen are glorified here. So like he was excited to move to tackle. And when he kind of blew up his junior season, he had been playing offensive line for a month. So just like a crazy story, and a guy who has shot up the recruiting board, 64th overall player, according to On3. And I love talking about Garrett Sexton.
Well, I just find it interesting. First of all, the rest of the country, the quarterbacks get the girl. What you're saying is in Wisconsin, the offensive tackles get the girl, huh?
I guess. Yeah, I would imagine like walking around. The fun thing, too, is like, I imagine it's super fun for Garrett, who is, when he was playing tackle as a junior, he's 225 pounds, and he's legitimately throwing other high school football players on the ground. So yeah, that must be a lot of fun too, to just be so dominant and physically strong that even when you're outweighing, you're underweight by maybe 50 pounds sometimes, you're the one putting other guys on the ground. That must be fun. Like, I would imagine I would have a lot of fun with that, too.
Well, I always like the position players who are former quarterbacks. I think it says something about them.
Yeah.
But I'm not used to it being you go from quarterback to offensive tackle. It's typically quarterback to defensive back. We saw Tyler Warren go to tight end, which I thought was a bit of unusual. But there's some more offensive linemen exciting prospects here. Go ahead.
I want to get to a little bit more on Garrett Sexton before we move on, because I just think that he is unique to Penn State and really unique to offensive tackles. We talk about getting one of these premier blue blood tackles and Penn State not getting some of those guys where they are, you know, the five stars, the Samson Okunlolas, the other guys that are, you know, obvious talents. Garrett is in that physical range. He's 265 pounds. I thought maybe he got a little too heavy too quickly this past offseason, where he's trying to grow into his frame. But, you know, throughout the season, he ran a little bit of that weight off. And then he was just like, when I talk about ceiling and potential, there are no perceivable flaws in his athletic profile. He is unbelievably fast for his size. He's explosive. He's strong for his weight, where, again, like I said, 225 pounds, and he's throwing dudes around. When he was 265, it was embarrassing. Like, he has some of the best highlights I've seen. I get so excited thinking about his abilities and his ceiling. I asked him, you know, off camera, you know, just him and I, when we were talking, I said, do you realize how talented you are? And he said, I haven't really done anything yet. And that's the right answer. Like, he hasn't done anything yet, but his ceiling is, if you think, and this is gonna get me in trouble always, but his potential, his ceiling, his play style is like Lane Johnson NFL offensive tackle, where he is an elite run blocker, he is an elite pass protector, he's got every skill you're looking for. He has to develop. He has to get to the size. He has to master the techniques, but he's got the work ethic. He's got the desire, and he has no perceivable flaws. So when you talk about ceiling, he is of this group. I think maybe Liam Andrews comes close, but he is the guy with almost an untapped ceiling. And I just want to stress, I think the reason he is 64th overall is all of those things. He's got so much potential.
And what's interesting in that whole concept is Kotelnicki was quoted this past week as saying how the offensive line is the most important part of the offense.
Yep. And so he fits really well into Andy Kotelnicki's offense. You know, outside zone blocking, it's what he does in high school. And that's a hard thing to master. I think he fits so well.
That is exciting. But he's not the only exciting prospect along the offensive line. Another very highly rated player is Cooper Cousins. I have him listed at 6'6", 305 pounds as an interior offensive lineman. I also believe, was he not the first commitment in this class?
Yes.
I know he was very early on.
He was.
Tell me about Cooper Cousins.
I was watching his 10th grade film when he committed. And I said, the first thing I said to Ryan was like, man, his legs are so skinny. I don't know. Like, I'm not doing a film room on him because there's just so much. Again, there's so much growth and there's so much potential. Fast forward to the summer and he's at a camp. And he walks up to me and says, hi. And I was like, there's nothing skinny about Cooper Cousins anymore. Like, and by the way, he's from Erie, my neck of the woods. So it's always nice to see somebody from Northwest Pennsylvania make it. And I just like, he's got the versatility. He's listed as an interior offensive lineman. He's a center. He's maybe one of the best center prospects in America, according to Charles Power, the recruiting director, scouting director for On3. But he has the length to play tackle. So I think that Penn State has essentially three tackle prospects in this class. Remind me the last time they had three guys 6'6 or taller with length to play the position, 33-inch arms or longer. I still think that ultimately Cooper is a center. And at that point, he's going to have elite length, elite reach. There's some things I think he needs to work on. I think he's a little bit too aggressive at times. He's a little bit too over his toes. So if Penn State fans think he's going to come in and play right away, there's a lot of stuff to work on, you know, for all of these guys. So I don't think that there's an immediate impact guy, but Cooper has been working with the Penn State staff, working with Phil Troutwine for essentially 2 years. So if there's a guy that's going to be that guy, it's going to be Cooper. At some position, he might have an inside track to being one of the guys that starts early. So there's a lot of talent in here. And then just to roll into Egan Boyer, 6'8", 250 pounds. Another guy with elite length, a little bit stiff. So, you know, I talk about Cooper, I talk about, you know, Garrett Sexton with these glowing, like almost mythical traits. Egan Boyer is right behind him with a couple of more like, okay, he's a little bit stiff. He's more of a pure right tackle in my mind, a guy that's going to be on your right side, but still has the athleticism to run with people, you know, in open space to pass protect, and has the size to be a dominant, you know, future player at the position. And Penn State hasn't had this much potential in a class in a long time. So when Egan Boyer is like maybe the third guy we're talking about, he would have been, from a traits perspective, one of the most talented players in other classes, even considering Javen Williams. You know, like Javen Williams has that sort of tackle, guard, tweener potential. These are pure tackle prospects. And I just, this offensive line class, I'm glad we're spending enough time on it because these guys have difference-making ability that when you combine them with Birch Meyer and Javen Williams and Anthony Donko, they complement each class so well. And a lot of these guys are really the prototype of what you're looking for at the position. So Phil Troutwine has done an amazing job getting the talent necessary to compete and have one of those offensive lines that is eventually dominant, scary, big, and athletic.
I'll say it again. Penn State fans probably talk about offensive linemen more than any other fan base just because of some of the issues over the years. So we're probably the fan base who gets the most excited about promising offensive linemen. All right, we're not done, though, on the offensive line. How about if we go back to Wisconsin and talk about Donovan Harbor? I think he's listed as an interior offensive lineman. He's already 6'3", 325 pounds.
Yeah, think C.J. Thorpe, I think, is a comparison I would make. Maybe you could put him in. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Sal Wormley, and that's why I say C.J. Thorpe. C.J. Thorpe had the same sort of like wow potential at guard. Harbor put on too much weight his junior season, and Penn State saw like a former high four star that kind of took a step back his junior year. And the question is, was it a decision from him? Was it oops, I got too heavy? Like, what was the reason? It doesn't really matter because they see that projection of having him lose the weight and having him be, you know, right in line with all of the dominant interior guys, a road grader from a perspective of his strength and another guy who's a nasty run blocker. With the feet that he played left tackle his junior season. I think he got hurt this past year. I have not seen his senior film. So, you know, with all of the other searches and film rooms and things we've been doing, I haven't been able to get back to all of these guys. But I believe he might have been hurt this senior season. But from a traits perspective, this is a guy who's he's listed as a three-star, but his potential is higher than that, where he's that high four-star caliber player that there's a little bit of diamond in the rough here with him. And then the last guy is Caleb Brewer, who played, you know, offensive lineman/tight end at Wyomissing, kind of like Javen Williams, athletically superior, You know, I think he's a pure interior guy. And the one guy that I would say, like, if there's a guy who is kind of in line with what Penn State has done over the years, Brewer is that guy of a physical guy with some limitations, but great traits from an athletic perspective.
All right. A lot of excitement with the offensive line. We still have more to go. Stick around. Quarter number four, we'll pick it up.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's T. Frank. I'm Jim. We are talking about the Penn State recruiting class. A lot of excitement every recruiting year. Every time it's commitment day, it's always exciting to hear about the new players. A lot of very good players in the Penn State's 2024 class. T. Frank, let's shift positions. Let's get back to the defensive side of the ball. Let's get to the linebackers. There's two members of the linebacker class, Anthony Speca from Pittsburgh and Kyrie Jackson from Michigan. What can you tell us about those two?
Yeah, probably the forgotten position of this class, and through no fault of their own, truthfully. First off, both guys are three-star athletes, so that, you know, fans kind of roll their eyes or dismiss three stars, even though there are some guys that have been excellent football players that are three stars. And then Kyrie Jackson has been injured this senior season, so we haven't really seen any progression or development from him. Start with him just from what we knew of him previously. He is a Mike linebacker. That's a guy that's going to play over the center. He's going to be a guy that reads the, you know, tackle to tackle sort of player. Smart, instinctive, plays the position, I think, with good anticipation. But, you know, from a trait standpoint, nothing really stands out. And then when you got Anthony Speca, leader in the class, first off, I want to start with that because that's really important. Very close friends with Quinton Martin was a part of getting him to Penn State. You know, one of the factors of getting him to Penn State, not saying that the only reason that that Quinton Martin committed is because his buddy was here, but, you know, was in his ear and a part of the journey here for this class of 2024. And one of the guys that committed first, I believe he was second to Cooper Cousins, and a great kid, you know, mature, wise beyond his years is a cliche that old people say, and I'm transitioning from young person to old person. So I'm, you know, I'm wearing sweaters and I'm putting those cliches into my vernacular. I was raised by old people, so I'm going to be excellent at this. But anyway, he's a guy that is, again, smart, instinctive, but didn't have the positional acumen. And just some of the things that Ryan Snyder has reported at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com of his transformation this year, you saw it on film. I love, and I'll compare him to to Abdul Carter in this sense of watching the light come on for a linebacker is fun because they are some of the more impactful players in high school, but just in modern football, there's so many different things pulling you literally in different directions from RPOs, read options. There's a lot of ways that teams attack that second level of the defense. So you've got to be an aware football player. And he went from a guy that was a little bit reckless and running around the field, making plays, but also running out of gaps when you're watching the non-highlight film, to a guy that sees it. And I love watching that transition for players, especially at that position where there's so many different ways that you can go. You know, and he's got coverage skills. He's athletic. He's pretty fast. He doesn't have the biggest frame in the world, but I think he's a guy that's going to play well and be a good linebacker for Penn State. So two solid options. And, you know, they didn't get three in this class because they got three last class. So the balance of the numbers, I think, works out pretty well getting two box guys in this class.
All right. Couple thoughts here, T. Frank. Number one, welcome to the old person's club.
Thank you. Glad to be here. It's cold in here. Can someone turn the heat up?
It's chilly, T. Frank. We call it chilly.
Oh, okay.
And and the other thing is T. Frank says that Anthony Spezza is going to be the next Abdul Carter. So I'm
sure.
making Jim Why is not? Making a note of Jim is making a note of that. Let's go to the defensive backfield. Let's start with the safeties. We've got DeJuan Lane out of Baltimore, 6'2", 200, and I'm going to kill the name.
Vabu Toure. I'll just do it for you. So you got Dejon Lane and Vabu Toure. And truthfully, Jim, this is an area of the class I know the least about. It's just the availability of film, timing of commitments, just some of those things, they kind of slip through the gaps. But both of these guys, I have enough to tell you, they're both super athletic. They're big, as you mentioned. Dejon Lane is a guy that I'll be honest, I didn't like his junior film, and I really impressed with the transformation here again, his senior season, where you have to ask some questions, right? So you have to ask the question. It doesn't mean that you are saying anything necessarily, but his junior season, Dejon Lane was used in underneath coverage quite a bit. He does not play against the best competition in the world. He was that Sam linebacker safety hybrid in his defense that played some in the secondary. I don't want to paint him in too narrow of a lane, but made a lot of plays on the football, a lot of interceptions, a lot of plays as a receiver. But there were some big gaps, I would say, in his profile. He answered some of those questions his senior season. And then beyond that, 6'2", 200 with good athletic testing and length and all those things. And Anthony Poindexter, if he says this is going to be a good safety, I don't care if I haven't seen it on film. Dex knows what he's doing. So the process of sometimes you come around on these guys a little bit late. I guess that's the story here with Dejon Lane. Vabu Toure, I love watching him play, hard hitter, physical, intimidator kind of safety. But maybe not the fastest guy in the world, but still good athleticism. It's just kind of like the linebacker position at Penn State. They're freaks that play there. KJ Winston's a freak. So when you've got that bar, anything that's below that, you start to say, okay, but is that, and then you have to recalibrate your brain to say, no, that's still a college safety. That's just not a dude who is going to do things that maybe not a guy that's going to do things that make your eyes pop out of your head like KJ Winston can, or, you know, Jaquan Brisker or Tig Brown or things like that. Well within the lines of a really good college safety, but I'm painting the picture of why these guys might be low 4 stars, or at one point were 3 stars. But overall, a great addition into the class of 20, into the safety room for 2024 in both of these guys. And Toure, I think, has some playmaking skills that are untapped so far from an overall perspective of run and pass.
There are certain positions, and safety is one of them, T. Frank, as you mentioned. You just begin to trust because there's been such a history at that position. Let's go to the other defensive back position, cornerback, where John Mitchell and Antoine Belgrave Shorter. To me, the most fascinating thing in the world, T. Frank, is they come from the same school.
Yeah.
What kind of high school defensive backfield is that, where both cornerbacks go to a top 10 collegiate team?
Yeah, they made a state championship, and I can give you a couple reasons as to why. John Brown has been up and down in the On3 rankings, a little bit undersized. I think it's an easy comparison to make to him and Kalen King. Corner is one of those positions where speed is king, and you just can't beat having elite 4-3 speed. He does not have that, but he is fast. And I like his overall position fluidity, his hips. He's able to turn and run with players. Not a huge frame, but good length. And I think can be a solid corner that has, you know, all of the skills that you're looking for. Is according to the On3 the consensus 118th player in America. So, position skills are at a certain level. Physical skills are at a certain level that he fits in the Penn State cornerback room. And then the guy that I think is the most interesting is Antoine Belgrave Shorter, who is a little bit bigger, a little more physically intimidating. Both these guys like to hit, but Belgrave Shorter kind of hits like a safety, which is why there's been talk about maybe eventually he becomes one of those field safeties for Penn State. But these guys fit perfectly into Manny Diaz's defense because they were both man coverage corners that were on an island in high school and had to play in and play out, be great. I would say even more because the coverages are more simplistic in high school. So it's more of, if you're going to play that way, those guys have to dominate. And they did. And maybe there were some ups and downs, but that's the nature of playing corner. Belgrave Shorter is another guy that in this class, you talk to certain people and you talk to, I'd say people in the know, They think Belgrave Shorter might be one of the most underrated slept on players in this class, who I believe is a 3-star, but has some people think he might be better than John Mitchell. So not only did Manor in high school have both of those guys, but they had one guy that might be a steal in the class of 2024 for Penn State. So really good class. I think they still fit into whatever defense Penn State is going to bring in because they are just that good. But it is interesting, like they were tailor-made for Manny Diaz's defense because they were doing the same thing at the high school level. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what they do and how they fit in. But athletically, from a traits standpoint, tackling, all those things, they're very good players in this class.
Cornerback is another one of those positions, T. Frank, where I'm just beginning to trust the process at Penn State. It just seems like they keep doing it. All right, we've got a few minutes left. I'll just lump them all together. How about the edge rushers, the defensive ends? Tell me about that group.
So really, it's two edge rushers, Malachi Williams, Jalen Harvey. Xavier Gilliam is listed as an edge, but I think everyone is expecting him to be an interior defender. He's just not as tall. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 275 pounds, but is an interior defender, I think, in high school and will be that going forward. He's the classic Penn State defensive tackle prospect where he played at Wild Lake High School, and he was an edge defender. He actually moved to Quince Orchard with Jalen Harvey, the other edge defender in this class. So those two guys coming in from the same high school, he played on the interior, and that allowed Harvey, by the way, to play on the outside, because previously in his junior season, Harvey was playing some 3 techniques and 5 technique, playing either head up or inside the tackle, and then bouncing out every once in a while outside to being an edge defender. So talk about Gilliam first as an interior player. Quickness, fluidity, everything you want in a defensive tackle in that 3 technique body type with good length and is able to stack and shed. Now, again, he was a guy his junior season not playing against a great competition. So he's a project player, not a guy with the size of the frame that's going to come in immediately and make an impact. Harvey, on the other hand, I find him very interesting. 6'2", 250-ish. So he's already college sized for defensive end. And I said, played inside in high school. So he has that understanding of playing the run. And shedding blocks, being attacked from multiple angles. It'll be different on the edge, but at the same time, he's got those run capabilities. Super quick, so he's thick and quick. And I you know, you like that with, again, enough length to play on the edge. Maybe not the tallest guy in the world, but has, I think, some ready-made play early, maybe Zariah Fisher type abilities, even though Zariah Fisher coming from linebacker, different conversation, but body types that might be similar in certain ways. Harvey, I think, is a really quality edge rusher in this class. And then the guy with the upside, again, frame here. 6'3 is not the biggest frame in the world, but Malachi Williams has extendo arms. So the guy that is going to come in and has the opportunity to be the premier pass rusher of this group, and has gotten bigger and stronger and used his arms and used that length better as he's developed as a football player, with the versatility to be a modern defensive end, which you have to have in college, especially some drop ability. I'm not going to project him to do that full time, but he's in a defense that does a lot of those things at in Philadelphia. So, you know, talking about Deion Barnes and his first defensive line class, this is almost everything that you would have asked for. Benedict Dume was the guy that kind of got away, but that was a special circumstance. His parents very much into academics, and he's going to Stanford. So hard to really put that one on Deion Barnes specifically. Some other guys in the region, of course, that got away, some 5-star talents, but, you know, they land a variety of body types. They've land a variety of styles that I think fit well together. So you don't have too many eggs in one basket. And this is a really good first defensive line class and high volume for Deion Barnes.
Very good, T. Frank. We started slow, but we finished strong. We got through the class. Thank you all for listening to our show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.